If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
As each side recited their blessings or curses, it would resound for miles. This was no cacophony, but a symphony of righteousness. And how well would the people remember the importance of these words? This would be as close of an approximation of the thundering voice of God as they might have.
This is Wings of the Morning, a program designed to help you soar above the clouds of another day on the wings of faith and prayer. Wings of the Morning is brought to you every Sunday at this time on WDEL under the direction of the Reverend Thomas Lehman, President of Sunday Breakfast Mission, Wilmington, Delaware. And now, here to share the good news of the gospel, Reverend Tom Lehman.
Thank you, Gerald. And my friend, when I was in high school, our family lived in a little town in western Ohio. It wasn't large, but it had some tremendous sports facilities. Football stadium that accommodated 10,000 plus, and an arena that housed an ice rink / basketball court. It was a sports town without question. With those places filled up with people, the noise could be deafening. And like all such crowds, there usually was some kind of contest to see which side could out-yell the other, back and forth, again and again, until everyone was hoarse. Not much point, but a lot of fun. All over the country, even the world, you see the same phenomenon with certain arenas or stadiums seemingly being designed for the maximum noise effect so that the hometown crowd can become the 12th man on the football team or the 6th man on the basketball team, revving up their team to have an edge to win. When we were given the privilege to tour Israel several years ago, I especially noticed that the shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem was really not a field at all, or a pasture in our way of thinking, but rather a steep valley with surrounding hills that almost formed a gigantic stadium. I imagined what it would look and sound like when a multitude of angels would be above it, singing God's praises. It would have sounded like a more glorious gathering at one of our stadiums. There are many such valley stadiums in Israel, but one surrounding the ancient city of Shechem was especially equipped for a special purpose. We're going to talk about that today on Wings of the Morning, but first, Sidewalk Prophets reminds us that we need to surrender to the Lord. Keep making me.
Make me broken so I can be healed, 'cause I'm so callous and now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken. Make me empty so I can be filled, 'cause I'm still holding onto my will, and I'm completed when you are with.
In the book of Joshua in the Bible, chapter 8, it says, "Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrifice fellowship offerings." Then it says that Joshua copied on stones the law of Moses, and all Israel, aliens and citizens, with all the leaders, stood around the altar and the Ark of the Covenant. And then it records something interesting, very interesting. It says, half of the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses had formerly commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people of Israel. So what was this about? What were these instructions? Why half against one mountain and half against the other? You see, all of this takes place right after Israel had had its victories at Jericho and Ai. Of course, that's after the first defeat at Ai. Then they had the victory, if you remember, right at the beginning of their conquering of Canaan. Moses commanded them before he died to go to this site between the two mountains and carry out a special ceremony. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, it records that he commanded that when they crossed the River Jordan, they were to go to this place with half the tribes on one mountain shouting blessings and the other half of the tribes on the opposite mountain pronouncing curses loudly. You know, this wasn't some witchcraft. This wasn't even a contest like in our stadiums with whoever could be the loudest. These blessings were real, but conditional. The people must follow through on their promises to obey God, who was making it possible for them to have the land promised to their father Abraham and live. The curses were not mean-spirited, arbitrary punishment coming from a fickle God, but rather consequences for active and passive disobediences. They would be blessed if they honored their father and mother, and cursed if they didn't. They would be blessed if they honored their neighbor and his property, but cursed if they tried to steal from him. They would be blessed if they cared for the blind, the widowed, the orphaned, and the alien, but cursed if they hurt the innocent. They would be blessed if they honored God's institution of marriage, but cursed if they carried out all kinds of sexual immorality. They would be blessed if they honored God, but cursed if they didn't. In other words, they had a gigantic choice: serve God in righteousness or become like the evil people which they were conquering in Canaan. The site and ceremony emphasized this enormous choice. Between these two mountains was a powerful sound amplifier. As each side recited their blessings or curses, it would resound for miles. This was no cacophony, but a symphony of righteousness. And how well would the people remember the importance of these words? This would be as close of an approximation of the thundering voice of God as they might have. And then there was the starkness of the contrast, the illustration. On one side, the choice of blessing, and on the other, the choice of cursing. On one, good to be done and to be had. On the other, evil. They would remember this, at least for a generation. But what about us? What about you? We don't have a gigantic stadium of voices shouting the choices for us, and sometimes it does get confusing. But it doesn't need to. the choice is all the more evident because we have God's written word, the Bible, to shout to us the blessings and curses. And the choice, well, it's even simpler. The choice is to let Jesus take the curse for us and receive the blessing of eternal life that he gives, or not, and receive the consequence of our sin, eternal death. So how about choosing life? Why don't you pray with me and choose life? Dear Jesus, I don't completely understand it all, but I accept that you died for me, for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please call or write me. You can call me at 877-306-HOME, 877-306-HOME. I want to send you something to help you in this new life, and may God richly bless you.
You've been listening to Wings of the Morning on 1150 AM and 101.7 FM WDEL. You're invited to share in this ministry by addressing your communications to Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. That's Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. And listen again next week at this same time for another broadcast of Wings of the Morning.